Hey everybody, welcome to My Up in Movies. This week we are talking X-Files, I Want to Believe, after last week's X-Files Fight the Future. I have to triple check this every time so I don't get them confused, but I'm pretty sure that's the order. Anyway, so after an excellent film last week that you could show to anyone and they would like it, we bring you this piece of garbage, which is a mess and messy and disappointed Candace and everything. So thanks for listening, thanks for doing all you do, and enjoy the second X-Files movie. Bye, guys.
So how are you? Well, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we watched the movie that they thought could compete with Batman The Dark Knight. We're talking X-Files, I Want to Believe, directed by Chris Carter. I am Nick Hoffman, your host. On the panel, we've got
author Matthew W. Quinn
and comedian Candace Wislowski.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen. So, if you listened last week, which I hope you did, we cracked out from behind the vault walls the original X-Files movie, which is called...
Why didn't you invite me to that one? That was actually really great. I'm so mad at you.
I know you are. Which I believe comes from behind the paywall because it was done in our first couple seasons. But now we are watching 2008's movie, which I saw in theaters. I believe you did too, Candace.
Absolutely.
This is terrible. This might be the worst film adaptation they could have come up with. And like I said, it opened it the same weekend as The Dark Knight. Heath Ledger's groundbreaking performance opposite this, a bunch of Canadian rejects.
We who are about to die salute you.
Yeah, I don't know what this might be. The most disappointed I was seeing a movie in the theater. I watch a lot of movies in the theaters. Obviously, I do a movie podcast. You'd hope I would, but I'm really like a crazy Netflix disc and Blockbuster at the time disc guy. Mm-hmm. But this one, I was there weekend of. And I knew we were in trouble. I was living near, if you're in Atlanta, I was living near Atlantic Station. So we were at one of those huge Atlantic Station movie theaters.
Yeah.
And opening weekend, it wasn't even half full.
Oof.
There was no buzz for it.
To be fair, those theaters also house like 600 people. They're too big. Gross.
I hate that. I will guess, though, Dark Knight was full.
The reviews were really bad when they came out. So I didn't see it when it came out in theaters. Yeah. And I saw the first one.
Wow.
And? What did you think now? After waiting 14 years.
Well, I went in with very low expectations. I actually enjoyed it. The more you think about it, the more wonky it gets.
Yeah. So speaking of, I will say give me the plot, but this movie has no plot because they don't explain anything.
I can
anything.
Give you a smart aleck version of the plot.
Thai spice. Are you three peppers spicy or four peppers
Silence
spicy?
Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
If Hannibal Lecter is a self-loathing pedophile priest who cut off his own balls.
Okay.
And instead of Buffalo Bill, it's some vaguely Slavic dude trying to transplant his boyfriend's head onto a kidnapped woman's body.
Okay. I mean,
it sounds...
Normally, I would say that's ridiculous, but I think you kind of summed it up.
And here's also the other problem. I don't know how much of the show you watched, Matt, but Candace and I watched a lot of it. One of the things the X-Files does that's really interesting is they introduce the hell out of the villain, right? Like,
yes.
We know their ins
yes.
and outs. And it's not just a sympathetic view. No. Rarely it is. But we know what Tombs is. We know how Tombs works. Mm-hmm. We know how the cockrophages, when there's that episode where the cockroaches kill everyone. My daughter is now old enough, she wants to watch things that are spooky, not scary. So they watch the episode with Tony Shalhoub and his shadow that's a black hole.
Oh, that's a great one.
But like... We spend all the
Anything
time...
Anything with Tony Shalhoub, by the way, is a fucking win.
Oh, it's so. Such a... It's, but,
God,
like, we spend so much time with him and his evil business partner, mm-hmm. and, like, and his goddamn shadow. Here, you described it correctly, but we see the bald villain guy who's the actual surgeon doing these surgeries maybe a total of 45 seconds.
Did I mention that the pedophile priest has psychic powers and cries blood?
Oh, Billy Connolly in this. Fresh off, I don't know
Independence what. Day? Because he was the doctor in Independence Day, I'm pretty sure.
No,
that's Brent Spiner.
That's Brent Spiner, that's Data.
But he looked, but they, trust me, they wanted him, and they were like, we can't, this isn't Brent Spiner if you ordered him from Wish.
Shaggy, overly intense, white mullet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Data from Star Trek. You know who this actually is? He's from Boondock Saints. He's the dad from Boondock Saints, a movie we haven't done yet, but we need to do. Absolutely need to do. So the show had been over for a few years at this point, and they decided to bring it back with this piece of absolute garbage. I need to like figure out how we're going to even talk about this, because the movie has no connective tissue. It falls apart. I mean,
it's also a Monster of the Week episode. I initially thought it had to do with the black oil because the whole thing about arms getting cut off. No.
Oh, well, okay. So start there. What are you talking about? Do you remember? Because that's how the movie starts. They're running through the forest. You have an FBI team with like sticks. They're digging into the snow because this is a summer movie filmed in winter in Canada. So that's what they're hoping for, right? And they're looking for it. And then you have this long-haired dude who looks like a crazy person, because he is a crazy person. And they find just an arm. Just an arm. Just a bloodied arm. It's got cuts all over it. It is, of course, cut off. And then we smash cut to what I would assume, based on screen time, is probably actually the A-plot, which is Dana Scully and the cancer kid. I don't know what is going on here.
Yeah, because apparently, you know, it's sometime after the events of maybe the last season. Scully is a doctor in a hospital, and Mulder is a fugitive from justice living in a compound with a Bin Laden beard.
That's right.
Right.
He's Alex Jones, effectively, which we'll get
maybe
to.
Maybe less of a douchebag.
He's definitely less of a douchebag.
Oh, he was the other guy, the West of the Rockies.
Art Bell?
He's Art Bell. He's Art Bell. Because they make reference to him reaching out to people about his conspiracies, which is fine. So when we're talking to Dana Scully, there's this kid who's dying from some very rare disease.
It's a brain disease of some kind.
Right. And because I guess it's 2008, all of this is done over teleconference, which doesn't need to happen. But she's trying to save this kid. And I mean, the fact that she's at a Catholic hospital makes sense. She was a very religious Catholic throughout the show. Mm-hmm. And
we also find out later in the film that between the last movie and this one, Mulder and her had a child, and that child did die.
Right.
And his name was William. And he was about the same age as this kid. So Mulder feels that her need to save him is very reminiscent of the fact that they couldn't save their child, which is supposed to mirror Mulder's constant feeling of the fact that he couldn't save his sister, hence why he got into the X-Files. So funny enough, this is a mirrored journey for Scully that Mulder had during his entire season of both the series and the first movie.
Can I take a shot at the later seasons of The X-Files?
Take a shot on me. Let's go.
William didn't die. He was put up for adoption to hide him from the cigarette-smoking man, or may or may not have actually been his biological father. Did I mention he has psychic powers?
You're also kind of right. They own kid that died.
Correct.
That they're referencing. William is now like Jackson something.
Yeah.
And he comes back in season 12 or whatever. It's all nonsense. And by the way.
And apparently he faked his own death or something. At 12.
This is so much.
Smart kid.
He's a super soldier because of course.
Oh my God. I completely had forgot about that last season.
You're fine. I gave up when Mulder got abducted.
Yeah.
I maybe watched a Doggett episode or two, but at that point I stopped caring.
If you think of it as a spinoff show, it's totally fine. But the fact that Scully keeps showing up being very put upon. I will say, though, what Candace brings up really bothered the hell out of me, because what was kind of interesting about them was there was tension between them, but it was very rarely sexual tension, right? Like, they respected each other greatly.
Okay, I'm going to pause this. You were not a 13-year-old girl watching this show when it came out. I was. There was tension there. There's a lot. This was before fanfic, where you had to go into an AOL chat room to talk about this. And that was that everybody everywhere across the world wanted there to be this hookup. But in defense of your comment, I was actually a little sad that then it showed the hookup. You know what I mean?
I thought they banged in season 11.
They definitely banged. Yeah, that's after this, though, because they brought the show back for like two seasons.
2016, 2017.
Yeah, and that was after this movie. So that's why we didn't know about the whole William thing at the time of filming this. To our knowledge, he's dead.
Right.
In this. That's why it's supposed to mirror it.
And so like the thing about this, too, it was like, it's also a dick joke. Because doesn't she say someone's up because he's poking her in the ass with his erection?
Gosh, I hope so.
I mean, and this is also
I want David Duchovny to poke me in the butt. I mean, who wouldn't?
This is when he breaks up with Tia Leone for sex addiction, too, if I recall correctly.
Yeah,
this...
yeah, he'd ignore you and just sit around looking at porn all day.
God, that's a shame. Well, not if you're doing it right, not, Matt, trust me.
And enough.
They'll never turn on that computer again if you know what you're doing.
Just... You're dressing up like a sexy E.T. with your tits out, and he's just right. Like, I'll duck you right now.
It's time for a probe.
Just start whistling the theme.
Right? Oh, my God. That's,
that terrible fake beard just falls off, and he's just like...
We're the worst people ever. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so speaking of the theme song, did you notice what happened when it first kicked in?
Hell yeah, I did. I got really excited.
That chick kidnapped and take a garden tool to a guy's face.
The literally the second that movie started, they were like, you saw a little bit of print and you heard boo, 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 yeah. Boo, boo. And I was like, oh shit, you know exactly what you're watching. They show a moon, bam, cut to the next thing. And you're like, okay. And then they have that classic little font.
Yeah.
Little typewriter font in the like, I'll tell you, that font is so recognizable. You could show me that on any movie screen and be like, what show is this from? And I'd be like, I can tell you in one note.
That's right.
Done. That.
Yeah.
Done. Love it.
The second time the theme comes in, they are walking down the halls of the FBI, and he's like, it's funny, Scully. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Mm-hmm. The theme kicks in, and then they show the picture of George W. Bush.
Yes.
And then they cut and to then J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah.
And you're just like, guys, this is not the time or place. I get it.
But it was funny. It was super funny. And that's because during the original show...
It was Clinton for the most part.
No, it was Bush Sr. That's why he made that joke. Yeah.
Did it take place earlier and it ran?
Yes.
I think the show lasted from 92 to 2002. Yeah,
so if it was Bush 1.0, it would have to take place at least a few years earlier than it ran. So is there some episode somewhere with Scully with big freaky hair?
No. She always had the slick down look.
Yeah, she played older than she actually was,
though. Correct. Yeah, she was way younger. And boy, she's hot too. But
she looks totally good in this. God, although it's funny, occasionally her Englishness slips out.
Yeah.
And she yells at Billy Connolly that he's buggering priests or kids.
37 too. Proficient little bastard.
37.
I was thinking of Clerks. 37 on the way to the parking lot.
37. All while being castrated.
That's true. Oh, dear. Oh,
yeah, the scene where, I'll give credit to this movie, the scene where she goes to see him and just starts ripping him a new one and he goes into a seizure, they are doing such a good job
with that. Because they're good actors. The script is terrible.
It's terrible. All right, so we've got off task. We were doing the plot synopsis. You've told us, of course, about the fact that we open with Dana working at the Catholic hospital, that she is dealing with this terminally ill child, the fact that Mulder is, you know, on the DL, hiding out, and the FBI shows up at her hospital saying, we need to talk to Mulder. If you contact him, all's forgiven. We won't press charges against him, and yada, yada, yada.
Specifically, it's the rapper Exhibit.
Stop, is that him?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He was drummer.
Pimp My X-Files.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was actually quite good. I would never have known that he was just like some random rapper.
The script is not doing him any favors, but he's fine. Like,
he was good, actually.
And then he just leaves the movie when Scully goes, I need someone with some balls, insert Mitch Pileggi.
Yes.
And then you can tell this movie came out in 2008 because Amanda Peet's in it. She's the other FBI agent on this. She plays Dakota Whitney.
Yeah, we
is she the one who was like, I called her my internal monologue, Girl Mulder, because she really admires Mulder and is into the same kind of spooky stuff he's into.
She's the one who introduces him. She was in previous movie 2012. And then since then, she hasn't had to act that much because she's married to the dude who did Game of Thrones. So she's fine. Don't worry.
One of the directors?
One of the creators of the show, yeah.
Mm. So she's had to hide in a bunker from angry fans after the end of the eighth season?
I thought they got rid of the original guys from... Anyway, it doesn't matter. So she hasn't had to act much since 2009. But, you know, there you have it. Amanda Peet and Exhibit are our two ins to this show. Using pedophile priest Billy Connolly as Did you see what his name was?
Father Joe.
Joseph Chrisman. The kid that she's trying to save is Christian, and he's Father Chrisman. The religious stuff is so stupid in this.
That's deep.
The pedophile priest who, by the way, raped 37 kids, which is right around how old Jesus was supposed to be in his 30s, is named Chrisman. And they thought, I bet you Chris Carter thought he was being really fucking clever with all of this. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I cut off my own balls. It didn't work.
One of the kids that he was molesting is the serial killer. Whoops.
Small world.
No. One of the kids he was molesting isn't the killer. He is the recipient of the bodies.
Oh, God, help me.
Faith and begotten. It's a small world, isn't it?
It is his husband who is searching for a cure and, of course, finds it in the lab of crazy Russian scientists who are willing to do just a head transplant, no spinal column needed.
Which is illustrated by just a bunch of stitches on a neck.
It really is.
Which also, Exhibit gets the line, and in Massachusetts, they're considered married. And you're just like, oh, 2008.
Okay, were they swapping his head onto the bodies to kidnap women, and they're going to put his head on Mulder next?
No,
because Mulder, because they remember they needed to find people that were a very rare blood type, which was AB negative.
Right.
And that they knew they were AB negative because of the medical bracelets they were wearing at the pool. So as a reminder, never publicize your blood type or you will be captured by Russians. I think that's really the take-home message of the movie.
Because they didn't just shoot Mulder. They're taking him out to the cellar. They're getting access.
He was just going to chop him up. That's what he did with everybody else. And then he would dump them out in the woods because, you know, I mean, snow, it's great. It covers up everything.
Well, and it's a good rule if you're a serial killer. Occasionally, change up the game. Make it harder for them to find you.
Yeah.
You kill, you know, six women. Kill a dude once in a while makes it harder to track you. Yeah. They won't know what they're looking for.
Vive variety.
It is. It's the spice of life. So.
Thanks, Matt. Okay, so we visit Mulder in his masturbation dungeon, which I can only imagine it just smells off. I mean, because in the basement of the X-Files, he had porno just laying around. That was kind of his thing. But he does show back up at the FBI, and they're part of this, you know, whatever. They're part of a briefing where they're like, well, we have this guy who we've been using. He's a psychic. And then smash cut to this dorm of pedophiles.
Yes.
Because it's literally a dorm building where they're all under house arrest and they watch each other. They govern each other. And we are introduced to him watching the Jeffersons. The first thing we hear is the Moving On Up theme song, which is such a strange, like, moving up to what? It's not a better X-Files movie, that's for sure. Yeah. But
maybe he got arrested and jailed in the 70s and never got to finish the season. He's watching it now.
It's supposed to personify the fact that the villain doesn't always look like the villain. They look like you and I. It's a regular person who has these weird demons.
But Bang, he's played
37
by
Alter Boy.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what the director was going for.
But he's played by Callum Keith Rennie, who went on to be Leoben, the creepy Cylon prophet in the revived Battlestar Galactica.
That's the murderer. The guy who is the prophet is Billy Connolly. Billy Connolly is, again, he's a weird English actor. He's very funny. Or Irish actor.
He's Scottish.
Scottish?
He's Scottish. Because I looked it up because I wasn't sure if the accent was real.
It's so over the top.
It's so over the top that I was like, is this, please don't tell me this is like an American actor doing some weird ass shit. Please don't do that. And I looked it up and I was like, oh no, it's for real. He really is a Scottish guy. He just happens to be doing this weird thing. And again, he's someone who they wanted Brent Spiner. And you couldn't afford Brent Spiner, so you got this guy. But I thought he did a good job.
No, I think Brent Spiner looked at the script. He's like, absolutely not. I will not be your hero pedophile.
Yeah.
But if you've seen the movie Brave, he was in Brave. If you've seen Boondock Saints, he was there too. I mean, he's been around. He's totally fine. And I imagine terrifying because David Duchovny's a big dude. And he's taller than David Duchovny. So he's probably, you know, 6'6 or something. But he lives in this, like, pedophile den, yada yada yada, and he's the one who's getting these visions, and he believes that, like, God supports him because he keeps getting these weird visions. Turns out that he just has a mental connection with one of the kids he molested, I guess. I don't. But again, none of this is explained.
See, I think it was supposed to be the opposite. I think he was supposed to be viewing it as God's punishment to him.
I think, I mean, you could tell me that there was a version of the script, because it would only need one scene.
Yeah.
Where he was actually in on it.
Yeah.
And he now realizes it's a bad idea, and so he's trying to bring the guy down. We don't know. The movie is... I don't think it's cut to ribbons, but if you told me that someone came in and cut out scenes to make it less than 2 hours, I'd believe you, because this movie doesn't make any connections. It falls apart.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever supposed to have a connection to the original kid. I think it's supposed to be that God's punishing him, and that's why he is interpreting these signs.
But Scully says, this is one of the kids you raped.
Right.
But you're, I mean, I see what you're saying, but the movie doesn't explain it to
us. No, the movie never explains it. Maybe we're all supposed to take something different away from it.
Oh,
that's what I take away
God.
From it. I take away the fact that...
Like goddamn tea leaves.
That this is his punishment, is having to see the horror that he has caused.
Okay, something else that bothers me just here and just in general.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's any tension. They're called in because they've captured an FBI agent, and occasionally we see her like trying to escape a dog kennel.
Was that actually her, or was that the woman who got run off the road?
The girl at the pool is who was trying to escape the dog kennel. The FBI agent has long since been dead. She's
the
dead,
body
but not
received.
Dead. She's the body received, hence the red nails.
But that's the point. There's no tension. Like the other movie has this great opening, which is essentially Oklahoma City. Mm. But like, there's tension immediately, and in this, it's just like Mulder like making.
And that movie came out like right after Oklahoma City happened.
Yeah.
It was like maybe like 6 months. I remember thinking, wow, that's a little too soon. Like people were upset in the theater about it.
And Mulder is terrified, right? But like Mulder is terrified. He's putting change in the soda machine. Nothing's happening, and he hits it, and it opens. And there's a bomb inside, and he's like, "Guys, it's literally happening right now." And here, there's nothing. The person they're looking for has been dead for a week at this point.
Well, that's why they had to introduce the second girl.
Did she actually survive or not?
We don't know. They didn't bother to tell us.
Okay, that's a problem.
They're halfway through her fucking neck.
Scully scrubbed in. And I got to tell you, the fact is, you and I all know that she wouldn't have made it because, like, they literally cut her, like, right at her jugular vein. But, you know, she was like, let me just stitch her right up.
Yeah, they were draining a lot of blood out of her, too.
A lot of blood going on. A lot of transfusion.
And it's a rare blood type, apparently.
AB negative is the most... like rare blood type on the planet.
I am a almost universal donor. I'm O positive.
Are you O? Yeah.
I'm O positive.
What are you, Matt?
I don't know.
You should.
You need to know. That's important.
It is.
I'm B positive, obviously.
Obviously.
Oh God.
Okay. So let's talk about. There isn't really a plot here, but Mulder's journey is to convince us that this pedophile is telling the truth. So they try to visit the house where the kidnapping took place, but they take him to the wrong house because it's a fucking across the street from the correct house. And he's like, oh dear, I don't think it's this house. I think it's that house. And of course it's that fucking house because that house has the police tape outside. This movie's like, we're going to block off one street. And that's all they do. Anyway, so around here is where we start getting like Fox Mulder's like, well, you've interested me enough to say I'm in it. Because like he goes to the wrong house. He's in the field behind the house. And then he's like, I feel something. And this is where he starts crying blood.
Yeah.
Which, again, no one watched wrestling in the 90s because that's just like the little... You just cut yourself a little bit with the razor.
This was very pre. What was it? What was that show on about the fucking vampires on HBO?
True Blood.
Yeah, remember True Blood? They love crying blood vampires. But no, it was amazing. Both eyes were full of blood, and he's crying, and I was like, oh, I love that. That's a vibe, right?
Right, and then here is where we get the next victim. This is where Kellen Keith Rennie is like masturbating in a pool and watching this woman swing back and forth, wondering about her blood type in this like YMCA gymnasium, which this reminds me of one of my wife's favorite stories. It's a story she tells a lot. We used to be a member of the nearby LA Fitness, which was nice when they first made it, and then they never maintained it at all. But when she would go and swim laps, there was always a dude who just went on his lunch break to watch people swim by. And so he would go to like Publix and then just get like a roast chicken and be eating a roast chicken, watching people swim laps.
The thought of eating a Publix roast chicken while smelling chlorine is more disturbing to me than him watching your wife swim. I'd watch your wife swim. Your wife's hot.
I mean,
I'd watch that.
A, but two, let's not forget that this is one of those gym pools. So it's a gym next to a hot tub. Yeah. So the humidity is at like 80% on top of that.
Very steamy, very steamy chlorine bromine flavored chicken.
Chicken broth.
What I'm really surprised about
is
that
chicken.
When they had first announced the whole AB negative thing about the women, I thought they were going to take it in the direction of the RH negative conspiracy, that it's like an alien blood type.
Right.
That's what I was expecting. When I remember when I first watched this movie, I was like, oh shit, here it comes. And it never came. And I was a little bummed by that.
Well, right. Because there was this whole like super soldier thing by the end, which mattered on blood type that they were talking about in the later seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, and frankly, they kept talking about animal tranquilizers. I thought there was going to be a werewolf or something.
Yes. Oh, my God. I would love that. Well, you know, like Doctor Who and the whole the whole royal family, the queen is a vampire.
Right.
Or is a werewolf. And they all have an RH negative derivative or something. And so that would have been a cute tie-in.
Well, just anything. Like if you told me that, I mean, because they've done this too.
Yeah.
What if it was a Russian version of their, you know, Majestic 7 doing experiments on aliens, and that's why they were cutting off arms and trying to fix anything.
Yeah, because there's a whole missing arm plot in the main series. Like, Krychek gets his arm cut off.
Right.
So this is like red herring big time.
Yeah.
I mean, but...
Like Baba Yaga.
Right.
Baba Yaga shit.
But I mean, like, even if they wanted to do a non-Myth Arc episode, bring back one of the big bads from the show. If this was the third Tombs episode...
Dang, I was about to say, Eugene Victor.
Other psychics that have been in the episode.
Yeah, Eugene Victor Toombs wants to do the country life.
Or, who's the guy who voices Chucky?
Dourif?
Yeah, Brad Dourif was the psychic, right?
Yes, that was creepy as fuck.
But, like, bring one of these dudes back, because the thing about the show was Scully never saw the magic or whatever,
right.
But they usually caught the killer. Right. And some of these dudes do end up in jail. That would have been so interesting. Like, because, like, that's what Wrath of Khan is. They just revisited another episode.
Yes.
Do it. Do anything.
Yeah, they bring out, what, Grima Wormtongue in a tiger cage?
Fine. Duh. Whatever.
I'm like, here for it.
What? Or, I mean.
Is that your kink? Brad Dourif in a tiger cage?
Brad Dourif is my kink. You can just stop right then and there. God. Him and Dune with those fucking eyebrows. God damn it.
Him and Lord of the Rings without the bathing.
Oh, God.
Or eyebrows, for that matter. They shaved them.
Oh, God.
Them.
My favorite. Okay, we're done. I can't even talk about this.
You're going to have to put down a towel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just such a shame that you're like, well, we haven't had X-Files in a while. What's an audience we haven't reached out to? I guess pedophiles. So let's do this weird plot. Like, I don't know who would see this the first time and say, gee, I want to watch more of this show. That's
the only good thing about him being a pedophile in this movie is the fact that it's supposed to discredit him immediately.
Right.
You know, because the minute they say the psychic was a father, immediately Scully takes note. She's like, oh, he was a priest? Because that gives validity to whatever he's saying because of her religious convictions. So, but then when they note the fact that, yes, he's a priest who is a felon because he, you know, did this to all these kids, then suddenly she's very betrayed. And, of course, she's not going to believe anything he says the whole time, which is great. I love the idea of having a sad villain who could maybe be right, but no one's going to listen to him because of his past deeds. That's great.
I wish it mattered more, though.
Yeah.
But
I feel like if we knew him earlier in the season or somehow... I don't know. I feel like I wish we would have found out later on that he was the pedophile.
Actually,
like, I think it would have been a better movie if we didn't know the whole time. So the whole time we believe him. And then towards the end, we find this out. So then we too feel betrayed,
you know,
by his misdeeds. I think that would be good. That would have been better.
Especially since the villain is one of his victims.
Yeah.
No, step further. She works at a fucking Catholic hospital. Wouldn't it be interesting if he used to work there?
Oh, yeah,
I was getting some of those vibes off that priest who kept looking at that kid.
that guy's weird. But again, that doesn't really pay off because in all cases, otherwise, he's doing his job. Like
he just cares about the bottom line. That's its own villainry. Actually, that's the real villain of the movie is the healthcare system.
Right.
And the fact that they're like, it's incurable. We're not doing any more tests. Just let him go to hospice. Let him die in peace. And you're like, damn, that's harsh. And then he talks to the parents about it. So that way they'll convince Scully he shouldn't do surgery. In fact, you know what? I'm kind of more mad at him than the pedophile at this point.
But I mean, to your point, though, that's part of the problem with this movie. They spent so much with Scully and the cancer kid that we care more about that plot line than the other plot line.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know, like if like they wanted to take her off the case, not because this kid's surgery is risky, but because she's so invested in the FBI investigation, that's more akin to her character. Like she's exhausted because she's up all night with Mulder trying to solve this murder or whatever. And so her medicine is being neglected. So she's trying to, they try to take the case away from her. That makes more sense.
I like the fact that she learned how to do neurostem cells off Google.
There's two product placements in here.
When she fucking Googled that, I died. I was like, I know that bitch is, number one, are you Googling how to do this surgery? Has anybody Googled something prior to a surgery? And I would normally say no, but I have been in a case where a surgeon did YouTube a video on how to do something.
I will
only
did it work?
It did work.
Oh, good.
We are very blessed. It was a very weird thing, but it worked out. And they technically he already knew how to do it, but he was like, I just need a refresher. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? And so that happened. But then secondly, the fact that she was printing off the notes is what cracked me up.
Yes.
It reminded me of like when you used to print off MapQuest directions.
Yep.
I was like, this is a very, at that moment, that's really what dated the film. Not the flip phone, not everything else. The fact that she was Googling how to do something and then printing it off to take it to work with her. It just cracked me
and
up
then,
for a quick second.
And then, yes. And then Skinner's like, let me Google that.
Yeah, yes, right? He does. So if your question was whether or not Scully is a boomer, that's it. I'm printing off the internet to show you. But specifically, she Googles
neurosurgery.
Stem cell surgery and then writes down on her legal pad stem cell. At that point, I just lost
this
my mind.
This being a Catholic hospital, shouldn't that be a bigger deal?
Well, and that's why I wanted them to make a bigger deal out of it.
Right.
I mean, maybe it wasn't embryonic stem cells.
That is what I wanted was when they were like, there's nothing else to do. And she was like, there is something else to do. I wanted her to say stem cell, and that's what I thought was going to be the plot. The turning point is we think this is against the church. And then I was going to be like, oh, shit, that would have been fucking bangarang, because then it would have taken into that whole account of, like, you know, where does Scully's faith meet her belief in medicine and science?
Right.
That's why she's a good character, is because she is the perfect midline, the teeter-totter between faith and science, whereas Mulder is no faith, and all everything else, right? You know, and so that's why they're a good mix.
I think in one episode, she just lets him have it because she said, you'll believe anything except God.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's because she's supposed to be very rational, except for in this one area. And he's supposed to be the one who believes
in everything but that. Yeah, and right. So it's a good thing. It's a good tit for tat. Yeah.
But I'll also say this just triggered in my head. But you were talking about vampires and wait, what if someone's... And it would be great if then Mulder was convinced everyone at the hospital she worked at was also a vampire. So he's just walking around with a wooden stake and garlic just in case. But again, since we spend so much time with Scully and the Cancer Kid, like I just...
That sounds like a band, Scully and the Cancer Kid.
It just rolls off the tongue nicely.
It's Sandoff's disease. Thank you very much.
So it's not cancer?
It's not cancer.
It's called MacGuffin's disease.
It's a degenerative brain disease.
Yes.
What's causing his brain to release the lipids from his brain. So it's deteriorating outside. And actually, there is a very similar real disease. It's called a shrinking cerebellum.
That's a real thing. Because it sounds kind of Alzheimer-y, you know, plaque on the brain.
Similar, but different.
It's different because it's the opposite.
The brain is shrinking. It's shedding stuff away instead of gathering.
Yeah, it's essentially what happens when you are starving to death.
Yeah.
Your body steals the cholesterol from your brain.
Correct.
And so this is happening to a normal kid, which again, there's so much science flying around here that doesn't matter. And again, I'm the kid.
Thank goodness we can print it off the internet to keep it straight.
Well, and they're throwing around the name of the pet tranquilizer, the animal tranquilizer. Yeah. And again, so I'm thinking werewolf maybe. And then on the other hand, you're just like, there's blood types and this is not ER. I want a gray alien to show up and steal someone. Like, I just, something. Because at one point.
They capture a gray alien and then try and graft that dude's head onto it.
At one point, Billy Connolly's like, oh, dearie, I see her here. She's like, she's trapped behind glass or something. And they dig it. They find.
Okay, what y'all can't appreciate is right now Nick has covered his face and eyes with his baseball cap. And he's like, his arms are flailing wildly as if he is the character. And this is actually better acting than the movie. Please continue.
Oh, dearie. And
stole me lucky charms.
Hearts are tired, me lucky charms. And they find this woman like reaching up out of the glass like it's a goddamn, oh man, what's the movie with Lindsay Lohan where she's her own twin and she's stuck anyway.
Parent Trap?
No, you wish it was the Parent Trap. There's a serial killer movie starring Lindsay Lohan. We'll do it late next season, I guarantee.
You know, there's actually a really great episode of X-Files where there is a psychic,
yes,
who tells Scully that, you know, you're laying over me and you're crying and da 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 da. And he's actually suffocated himself in a bag. And he's looking through glass. And so yeah. I thought it was supposed to be very reminiscent of that episode, which, P.S.
Amazing.
Unlike this one.
Well, I was thinking of the Brad Dourif one, which is after her father has died.
Oh, God.
Right?
And the cross is there. It's too much. Stop. That is probably one of the best episodes of it. Probably the top three episodes of X-Files.
Beyond the Sea?
It might be.
But I mean, like, that's what... Don't create a new character. Bring back Brad Dourif as the same psychic who's suddenly having new visions.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, there's so much you could do with it other than just have Exhibit going, I think he's full of shit. And Amanda Peet's like, but what if Mulder's right? And Mulder now at this point, like, is shaved and he's back in fighting shape or whatever. And you're just like, but.
Yeah, I like when she goes to, like, touch his skin. She's like, what have you done? And Scully has that little, like, bitch, you better not touch my man. And I was like, ooh, yeah.
He's in shape enough to do parkour. There's a whole parkour sequence in this.
Oh, I mean, his old man knees are about to give out.
Yeah, right.
That ends with girl Mulder getting chucked down an elevator shaft.
Oh we need to get there.
It was so funny when I remember thinking when she was like, she's like, I'm talking up. And I was like, I feel really unsafe right now. This is an unsafe work zone. I didn't like that.
But I will say, that's the best scene in the movie. They're like, they have Colin Keefe running on the run. Like, there's action. They're running around, which, again, something X-Files could do. They never had, like, a huge budget, but, like, a lot of warehouses running around. The guns were out. Like, they were chasing because this movie is just loose ends that never get tied up. But Colin Keefe Rennie is apparently an organ transplant, like, courier.
Correct.
And at one point, they're suspicious of him vaguely. We don't know exactly why, because they just let him go. There's no evidence to hold him. So we don't know why he was questioned, really.
Because he's a creep?
Okay. But I don't know. There's a lot of non-creeps who just carry around organs for a living. I mean, heroes all, but still. They track him back to his, like, central location, which is mostly a warehouse in Vancouver, I assume. And then we end up with this incredible chase between Exhibit, Amanda Peet's character, who I can't remember, Mulder, and they're running down traffic. They're chasing around.
Her name is Whitney, by the way.
Whitney what?
She doesn't deserve a last name. Officer Whitney.
Oh, you're right. It's Dakota Whitney.
Thank you.
There you go.
What can I say? See, I pay attention sometimes.
I mean...
In between the masturbating to David Duchovny.
Of course.
Obviously.
I get you.
Duh.
There was a song, and I'll show it to you if you haven't seen it yet. Have you seen Why Don't You Love Me, David Duchovny?
No, I've never heard of this.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Okay. We'll watch that tonight along with the commercials.
Yeah. It's a music video. And for those of you at home, watch it. It's on YouTube. It's a woman. And it's very much like a late 90s music video. It's just a woman and a guitar singing. But the whole cast of X-Files gets in on it. And so they're singing it on set. Why Don't You Love Me, David Duchovny? And the last line of the song is, I'm going to kill Scully. And that's the... It is a tight... tight song. But anyway, at this point, Agent Whitney is running around. Scully's like on a different floor. They're looking for Cullen Keith Rennie. They're shouting to each other because they're trying to back each other up, but they don't know where they are. And
Scully's not even there.
Mulder.
Mulder.
Okay, I was gonna say Scully's at the hospital
with the cancer kids,
dealing with Sandoff's disease, learning how to do stem cell
injections.
She's
Googling as hard as she can right now.
Okay.
Where
do you even order that from? I don't know.
Amazon. She's on Amazon and she's
trying to get stem cells. They didn't have Amazon Prime yet. So how did you get those stem cells so fast?
You didn't.
I want to know.
You just had to hope they stayed cold over 3 days. But they're running around this, like, it looks like a parking deck under construction, maybe.
Yeah.
And he's like, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And then she fucking shoves Amanda Pete down an elevator shaft. And it's incredible. Like, this is.
And she's full swan dive, gets impaled on the machinery at the bottom.
Like a Hans Gruber all the way down. She's looking up at you, arms are flailing. And then the fact they have pipes sticking up out of the bottom, is that even necessary? I mean, let's face it. The fall alone was going to kill her.
Dude, but it's a Mortal Kombat death. Like,
it is.
It's
it
like
really
a
is.
Fatality.
It was. You're not wrong.
And she lands and it just... it's something. It's really fantastic. Yeah. Also, just like Exhibit opening up the organ case at this point. Because he's like, is it a bomb? Nope, just an organ case.
I thought it was somebody's head.
There was a head in there.
Right, but still.
Was it the FBI agent's head?
Yes.
Oh, what's okay. in the box?
Yeah.
What's in the box?
What is in the box? Could be anything in the box.
And so now we gotta save the woman who Callum Keith Rennie had run off the road.
That's right.
Before they either drain her of all her blood.
The person who enjoys a good pool swim and
before they either
Alaska/Vancouver/Washington D.C.
Before they either drain all of her blood or glue or cut her head off and glue Baldy to it.
That's right.
Or whatever it is they were doing.
Here's my deal: because you're not attaching a spinal column or anything. I mean, does his head really need to go on there? Couldn't you just keep her body in the ice and just keep his head in that tray? Because his eyes were moving and shit. I mean, I feel like isn't that good enough?
I know Billy Connolly is kind of a psychic.
Yeah.
I wanted one more supernatural thing. Maybe the two of them are communicating telepathically as well, right? Like the head never does anything other than vaguely open its eyes.
Well, he does. They are connected in that they die at the same exact moment. If you look at that's what Mulder was talking about. The fact that they died at the same moment and da 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 da. So he was connected supernaturally to this person, but I think they could have done a better job of showing that.
I mean,
which really shows that you're connected to people, to trauma in your life more than the good things.
But I mean, like, is that, but if you said it was trauma, I believe it, but it could also just be like my spouse has died. And sometimes when the spouse dies, the next day.
It could be.
Yeah. Like,
I have a cool story like that. Can I share it?
I would love you to.
Thank you. So I was 16 years old and working at McDonald's at the time. And I went down to pick up. Thank you. I went down to pick up my paycheck at the McDonald's because this is when you didn't have direct deposit because you're a child and you still go cash your checks and then put your money in envelopes for CDs and shit like that. And so I was down there at the McDonald's and I was there and getting my check and I was like, something is wrong. And they were like, what? And I was like, something has happened to my brother and I have to leave right away. Uh-huh. So I jumped in my car. I drove home furiously. Cell phones. I didn't have one because I think only adults had them at this time. But I get
She's
home.
73 years
I know. Old. I really am. I got home. I walked inside. I unlocked the door. Walked to my house. The phone was ringing and I picked it up and it was my parents calling the house crying that my brother had been in an accident.
No kidding.
And that he was at the hospital screaming my name.
Oh.
Is that not the creepiest thing ever? And I knew it in my bones. And it's the only instance of that kind of like very surreal thing where like, I think, you know, we already talk about like twins having, so that my brother and I are not a twin, but we might as well be in every other way. But I knew there was something wrong with him and they had been calling the house over and over again. And they were like, where have you been? And I was like, I was at work. And they were like, we've been trying to call you. Mikey is here screaming for you.
It's scarier than anything that happened in this.
It's very scary. I know, right? It's creepy as shit. It makes me like get goosebumps just talking about it. I very rarely talk about it because it's creepy, right? But
yeah.
that's So, you know, I do believe that, like, there are some people that there's a strange connection, whether it's a good or positive, you know, bad or good. I don't know. But
I mean,
that was weird.
I've not had anything that dramatic, but mm-hmm. like I had one where someone I knew was getting arrested. And, like, that phone call, I was just like, oh, this is not the phone call I should be getting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you knew something was wrong. Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, like, here's the thing. That's appropriate to say because none of that is in this. It would be interesting if maybe one of them gets arrested early. And so then you can tell emotionally they're connected because someone's coming and they start freaking out.
Yeah.
Like, there's a... Meanwhile, we watch...
Well, I think we were supposed to get that out of the fact that when... when he was having the seizure.
Right. Okay.
The seizure was when he was flatlining and they were having to transfer him. So I think we were supposed to pick up on that earlier, but I don't think they did a good job of that.
I think the director of this is garbage. And this is Chris... What?
This director did Tombstone.
No, this is Chris Carter. This is the creator of the show who directed this.
What? No. Somebody else directed... Chris Carter wrote this, but someone else directed this. I think the guy that did Tombstone did this one. Look it up. Am I wrong?
It's
okay if I'm wrong.
You're wrong. I think you're wrong.
Shit.
I think the guy you're thinking of directed the first one.
Oh, shit. That was a good one. And Tombstone's a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, the first one was directed by Rob Bowman.
Oh, that's who it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Shit. Never mind.
This one is never directed by the creator of the show.
I'm fucking trash. Don't listen to me.
Oh. She's hot trash, though.
Thank you.
If you're garbage, you're hot garbage.
Hot garbage.
Is there a panda?
Maybe.
A hot trash panda?
A hot trash panda. Speaking of that, if you're in Atlanta and looking for someplace to eat, Little Bites.
It's hot trash or whatever.
Well, no, they're not trash, but their mascot is a panda, so go visit them.
Yeah, go visit them. They're up there at KSU. So, around here, Kellen Keith Rennie uses his strongest weapon, which is a snowplow for the third time, and he runs Mulder off the road when he's driving Scully's car, though.
Because Mulder, this is the luckiest break in the movie. Mulder is there when Kellen Keith Rennie is getting more animal tranquilizers. I thought he'd be hiding in the back of his truck, but no, he's following him in his car. Well, Scully's car.
Also, brief question here, just because I like asking questions. Where the fuck are they supposed to be?
I think they're West Virginia.
They were filmed in, obviously this is filmed in Canada, like Vancouver, the original show.
Everything was filmed in Vancouver during the original show, yeah.
But like, we were at the actual FBI building earlier on. So we're in D.C.
In D.C., correct.
But this is like the tundra.
It really is.
I'm pretty sure it's in West Virginia.
I mean, which I guess is not terribly far, but it's just funny how like they smash cut to... Siberia, like, and so when like Kellen Keith,
stop! It's making me laugh.
When Kellen Keith Rennie runs Mulder off the road, it's into like a 12-foot snowbank where he's crawling his like tall ass out of his car, and I'm just like, is he gonna burrow? Like, it's so much.
He's gonna go full Bugs Bunny, you know, right turn to Albuquerque and burrow into the. Frankenstein compound.
By the way, if Mulder's first line when he sees the surgery setup was, yeah, what's up, doc? Hey, what's up, doc? Also, I have not been in medicine as long as you have, Candace, of course. There's no such thing as a tranquilizer gun the way they have this.
I thought they had big vaccine guns.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. Those guns look very similar to what they use on Star Trek.
Right.
To which they shoot right through clothing. I mean, yes, if those guns are pretty accurate for like an animal. I don't know if it would work though if you actually tried to use it into a person because you wouldn't hit a vein.
Absolutely.
I mean, you would just be getting into their muscle. But then again, I mean, there are like sub-Q or like muscular type injections.
Well, they kept jagging me into their neck, so I thought they're going to their.
And how are you gonna, there's no way that a needle like that is, that just doesn't work that way.
You'd go right through, they'd bleed.
Yeah, they'd fucking bleed out. Like, you can't, it doesn't work like that. So, but yeah, it's all right. I mean, that was kind of the least worst thing of this.
Mulder goes down pretty bad.
All of this is supposed to be in Virginia, by the way, because I just looked it up because I was like,
where? In Arctica, Virginia?
Somewhere in Virginia, the snow is deep. I mean, it's real. I mean, the shit's running deep. That's all I can say. Because I was thinking to myself, it has to be wherever the same state that Scully is practicing medicine in.
Right.
Because she's going from the hospital to meeting him at different sites and whatnot. And so, yes, it is all taking place in Virginia. Because what's his name was, and the only reason we know that is because what's his name, who was the transporter of organs, was employed in the state of Virginia.
Right.
That's how we knew what where it's supposed to take place at.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, what this smells of to me is that first movie was good. Let's also film the conclusion in a snowy area because the last one ends in Antarctica, which, again, total ripoff of The Thing, but I'm going to allow it because it's fucking incredible. That last movie is so good. In fact, when you leave, I might just put it on, or maybe while you're still here, I'll just put it on and we'll just watch it after some Christmas commercials.
Yeah, I mean, all I got to say is that my husband's working late, and so I can fucking X-Files this shit up all night.
What's your favorite episode?
So my favorite episode might be the Dourif episode.
Yeah, it's good.
One of my scariest episodes, though, that really bothers me is the ones where they're in the woods and they're cutting the trees and they've unleashed the bugs that were dormant.
Oh, the Canadian.
Yes, oh, yes. God, that is... I remember as a kid being legitimately fucking terrified. And they're in the dark. I also, the one with the Eve one, where it's the girls inside the fucking boxes... That's fucking... I remember as a kid being totally fucking terrified of this.
I read the book version of that episode, okay. The Bugs.
How was it?
Well, when you're in middle school, it was cool.
Yeah, right?
Wait, so you read the novelization? That's cool. I didn't know there were X-Files novelizations.
I had another one where they go to Mexico.
That is the most Matt statement ever. I know. Like, I read the novelization.
And they also have one where they go to Mexico and they fight like Quintana Roo separatists and the alien god Kukulkan and his pet snakes.
That's also an episode.
Huh.
They really did go ruins. There really was one.
Yeah, and in fact, the cigarette smoking man is killed in the Anasazi, the ruins, abandoned cliff dwelling.
This one has like the idea that the Aztec feathered serpent was a pet of an alien. So Mulder and Scully get jacked by some space pythons.
Speaking of the Anasazi, if you live here in Atlanta, are you tired of seeing the signs?
It's a very strange sign.
Yeah, the Anunnaki did this and that.
The Anunnaki are responsible for mass shootings and for Hitler and for JFK and all this weird shit. I mean, listen, I love a good conspiracy theory as much as the next person, but I think we're stretching here. And the fact that someone's taking the time to make the sign and then go out on the interstate and nail it up to an exit where I'm having to sit and look at it. Wow. I saw one recently that said that they're responsible for New Jersey.
I saw that one, too.
And I was like, the whole state or just an incident that happened there? Well, I don't know. You never know. So,
well, the people don't like New Jersey, though. So that's the Anunnaki's revenge.
Oh.
Dude, if that was suddenly the
That's
slogan,
the bottom of New Jersey. The Anunnaki's revenge.
On the bottom of each of the driver's.
On the driver, the fucking tags on their car. Stop. I'm dead.
Oh,
I've
that's
died
so
of.
Funny. I also like the episode, I know Sudsy's not here, R.I.P. Sudsy. No,
Sudsy's busy. He's a man now. He's in man relationships.
He's getting busy.
Yes, he's getting, literally.
Yeah. Is Home, the one with the inbred family?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a creepy one.
That's his favorite. I will also mention that when I'm teaching a class about the 1990s and I talk about how people's growing distrust in the government after Oklahoma City and Waco and Ruby Ridge, I always show the one called Soft Light, the one with Tony Shalhoub, just because if you've never seen the show before, it's almost like a Twilight Zone episode and you get it all in one go.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent episode. And it's got Tony fucking Shalhoub, so yeah. I'm fine. Yeah. There's also a weird one with Seth Green where he can control electricity with his mind, which I recommend.
Is that the one where he's creeping on his teacher?
Kinda, but I just remember him changing so all the lights at an intersection turn green at once so cars drive into each other. It's a good episode.
Yeah,
I like the Gene Victor Toombs as a character. You know, hey, I hibernate for 50 years and come out and eat people's livers and Mulder is basically stalking him, and it's almost played for laughs.
It comes, he shows up twice in the first season. Good episodes. But that's kind of what the episodes of the week should be.
Yeah.
A weird thing. I mean, there's one where they went after the Loch Ness Monster. And you know what?
Big Blue.
Yeah, and at the end, the Loch Ness Monster sticks its fucking head out of the water, but Scully's facing slightly to the left, so she doesn't see it.
Well, Mulder just looks out in the lake, shakes his head, it walks off disappointed, and then 2 seconds later, here we go.
Exactly.
But that's how they should go, man.
So we're ending the towards the end of the movie now. So.
And Scully needs someone with some balls.
So obviously that's Walter Skinner steps in for help for 45 motherfucking seconds on screen.
How does he not show up for 75 minutes into this movie, man? I know he was busy unveiling the Masked Magician or whatever that nonsense was.
I don't know.
But he's a 6'3" brick shit house, which is what you need from the beginning in this thing.
He's such a good actor. I loved him in the original series. I was mad it took this long to get him, but as soon as you said it, I knew he was coming. So that made me really excited, and that made me happy.
Well, okay, so this is so random, but like one of my first real memories of Skinner is, I think it's at the end of the first season, or beginning of the second, where they're trying to discredit Mulder, so they're literally putting LSD into his water supply. And so, you know, he's practically itchy. Mulder's like practically scratching himself, and he yells at Skinner and throws a right hook at Skinner. Skinner literally like picks him up by the collar, and Duchovny's like a brick shit house.
Yeah.
And Skinner is that much bigger and just like, holy shit, this guy knows stuff. He's bigger than a fucking house and he can control that shit down. Like, Skinner is one of the most intriguing characters in the whole show. And
well,
then he's,
this show is always about everyone but them.
Right.
I mean, like, this show was always about the smoking man. It was always about the cancer man. It was always about the lone gunman. It was always about Skinner. Like, it was Mulder and Scully, while interesting, at the core are the cracker. It's everything else is the dip. They are what you require for that. And I will take that to my grave.
Well, and that's what's good about, I'll put it this way. When Marvel movies get too much in the head of the hero, that's when it's the problem. Mm. It's why I think generally my favorite superhero movies are Batman movies, because they know that Batman's the least interesting character in any of them.
Is it okay if I have more?
I have more upstairs. You're fine. Yeah. But like, you know, when you're watching those Keaton Batmans and Jack Nicholson is the Joker, it's the Joker's movie.
Batman, it's the Joker's movie. God, he is so good as the fucking Joker.
And Batman Returns, it's Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, it's Danny DeVito as the Penguin, it's Christopher Walken as the guy who's trying to get the Penguin elected to be the mayor. And here, Mulder and Scully play too much of a role. Maybe that's the problem. I want to know more about the villain.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree with that.
Because, like, when they trank Mulder, and he's like reaching for the axe, I'm like, I don't even know why Colin Keefrenny is here and cares this. Like, really? They spent so much. You essentially have two full episodes to explain people, and we spend so much time in the hospital that it just feels like it's a complete waste of time. And then when Scully shows up and saves him, it's nice because she saves him once again, which she does over and over in the show. But like,
in more ways than one.
Of course. I mean, from his crippling porn addiction. I know they're dead.
It's
in
not an addiction; it's a passion.
That's right. I know they're long dead, in the myth arc here at this point. But I do miss the lone gunman. I love when they would show up, and I think it was Froehlich who was obsessed with Scully, and he's just hitting on her. You know, he was downloading Gillian Anderson MPEGs from the internet. Like,
in the Ruins novelization, I think one point Mulder's like, "Down, Froehlich."
The fact that you bring up novelization just tickles me to my core.
It really does. Makes my nipples hard.
I mean, you can tell.
That's why I have to wear two hoodies.
Hell. I mean, at this point, we get the scene we should have almost gotten. I'll fix your movie. The scene at the end should almost happen at the beginning with Amanda Peet and Exhibit, right? They're breaking up a surgery wing. There's a head in a jar.
Yeah.
There's a body there. The woman is like drained of half her blood in an ice tank. That would be so fascinating if the Colin Keith Rennie gets away, but we've broken up the surgery scene. And so he's now trying to free his lover and get another woman because the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
But like right here, we literally say, because Scully says, don't worry, I'll save her. You go help Mulder. And we don't even see what she does to save the woman.
She washes her hands. That's what you say. A good hand washing will save someone every time, everybody.
Although I will say this is, I guess, slashvic fan service, because Skinner is cradling Mulder.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just Mama two likes. Strong men. Just...
I know, when he was like, I got you. I was waiting for him to say, I always got you. I was like, God damn it.
And he takes the coat off and rubs it, just like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, it just smells so earthy.
God, yeah, trust me, there's nothing sexier to a woman than seeing two dudes hug. Just saying.
Well, and they're just, and then they're big, tall, strong dudes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just.
You like big dudes. Big dudes hugging.
Oh, right.
That's why you website.
You like big dudes, you cannot lie. Big,
yeah.
Only, hashtag only dudes.
Only dudes. Oh, God.
Mitch Pileggi cannot lie.
And then, I mean, and then the next.
Only man's.
And then the next scene, you know, Scully comes in, Mulder's cutting out newspaper articles because they essentially blame Chrisman for everything.
Yes, they say that the article shows the fact that they have this crazed scientist who is performing experiments and that Father Joe was an accomplice. And Mulder's very upset by this and the fact that, you know, it's besmudged his name, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, Scully's like, his name was already ruined. He was a pedophile. He's dead. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And Mulder, of course, doesn't feel this way, number one, because he believed him. But then number two, it's supposed to, I think, mirror the fact that Mulder's name has been ruined so many times right. When he knew he was right and nobody else believed in him, that it kind of hits a different way.
Well, and I will say, once again, Candace, you're absolutely right, but the movie doesn't paint.
Say it again, Daddy. Say it again.
Oh, girl, you're so right.
You're so right, girl.
You're so right. But the problem is the movie doesn't paint any of it off, right? Because, yeah. Like, at the beginning, in one of the clunkiest lines of the whole thing, Exhibit goes, he's just upset because he thinks his sister was stolen by E.T. And you're just like, oh, it's this.
I was waiting for him to, like, fucking donkey punch him from the fucking back when he said, if someone, just know if my brothers ever went missing and some dumb fuck said a comment like that, I would beat the living shit out of you inside of that fucking car.
Well, because, okay? I mean, let's
the
be very,
end.
Well, let's be very clear here. Billy Connolly has a line later, he goes, oh, she's dead, isn't she? Because, like, at this point, even if she was taken by E.T., it's been 30 years. She's probably dead anyway. And it's still a raw nerve. But so, like, the fact that Exhibit is such a prick here makes no sense. Although I will say my favorite thing about that last scene.
It's supposed to show that Exhibit thinks the same way he thinks about Mulder that he thinks about Father Joe.
It sure does.
Ooh,
I will say my favorite thing. I mean, Mulder and Scully kind of have a little fight. They kind of break up for a bit.
For a second.
They come back together. And Scully walks in, he's cutting out the newspaper, he's very upset. Although she has a look on her face like she did just bump into Skinner as he was leaving. Like, you know, they're like, oh, it was him again. Wasn't it? Also, I love how, like, sometimes his house is in the middle of nowhere behind a gate, and then sometimes it just looks like a very nice house in the middle of Virginia.
Right.
It's just like, oh, it's a suburban house just a little off the main road.
You never know.
You know, it's somewhere between Walden Pond and the Unabomber's shack. Like, it's just, it's so, whatever. Also, I like how Scully at the end has a brand new Ford, because her old one was, you know, ruined by him.
Yeah. Treat yourself.
So at the end of the movie, Scully does surgery against the parents' wishes, and the kid may or may not have survived. And then cue rock music, because this movie definitely did not need rock music.
Wasn't there a post-credit stinger for some reason?
Oh,
I thought
yes, there is.
So apparently,
I heard there was, but never actually watched it.
So pause. I did not know there was one. It wasn't until just now when I'm looking it up online that apparently there is a post-credit stinger, and I didn't know this. I didn't watch it.
I
didn't see it in theaters either. This was before we knew this was a thing.
We are watching it now.
Yes.
Are we? Should I come around?
Yes.
Yeah, come behind me. Again. So, I mean, girl.
There we go, girl.
Uh-huh.
They're not in Virginia anymore. It's too green. Here we go.
Yeah, okay. So if you have not seen this, the whole time there's kind of snowy.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
And then we pan to islands off Costa Rica.
Okay.
And then there's just a boat. And on the boat, the rowboat, is it shirtless Mulder and Scully.
What?
And by the way, they didn't film this. This is all CGI nonsense.
What is this?
These are Sims come to life, and Scully has been given incredible cleavage, and Mulder is just rowing a boat because this week, Scully, we're going to go find Jaws. And that's how the movie...
Until this moment.
Until this.
I'm so into this. This is such trash. What kind of fucking bullshit is this?
Since Mulder has apparently been forgiven for whatever, maybe they gave him all his personal time back.
He didn't need personal time. He wasn't employed. It's all personal masturbation time. He's on all of those subreddits. That's how the movie literally ends. That's the last thing. And I'm now looking at a picture of Black Adam because that movie didn't make enough money. So that's how this movie ends. God damn it. God help me.
I am so mad right now. Yeah.
But by the way, this is purely honestly on my part.
Yeah.
I've seen this movie once before in theaters. I saw it obviously before we did this. I had the movie playing in the background to keep it straight. Like, because the other movie has a linear plot line. The last one Candace was on, I think, was Sherlock Holmes. And that has a plot line. It moves. Like, occasionally it veers to the side just to confuse you, but you know what's happening. I still don't understand all the ins and outs of this movie because they don't spend any time, because you don't need to humanize the villain, but I need to spend time with the villain because if there's someone I know, it's Mulder and Scully. That's why I'm here. This movie's a mess.
I was fine with this movie until just now. I was going to tell you that while it wasn't great, it was still okay, but I think I have to reevaluate everything right now.
I mean, we'll get to final thoughts as we get to final thoughts. I just... You know, some things that suck about it were, where's Doggett and Reyes? If they were the ones who had taken over the X-Files, they should be the ones that invite David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson back. Second, I will say, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, their relationship stuff, even the weird boner jokes, their chemistry is still there.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
They clearly like each other.
Yeah.
When Scully calls up Mitch Pileggi to be Walter Skinner again, that relationship comes immediately back.
Immediately. And I wish she would have been in the whole damn thing because it would have made for like a 20 times better film.
It would have been interesting if at that like meeting where Exhibit was there, he was the one who gave Amanda Peet the idea to reach out to Mulder.
Yes.
Because like Scully, she has a job. Mulder's off the path. He goes, if you want him, you need to go through her. Like, incorporate him more because guess what? When Mitch Pileggi showed up in the show, I knew it was important. It went from being a Monster of the Week episode to being one that might have more significance. And it's a simple trick, but invite the cast we like back, right? Like,
especially if you know the person is still young, they're still acting. Like, it isn't like this is someone who is, you know, if we can get fucking Val Kilmer, who literally can't talk anymore,
right,
and get him back into a film and make it amazing, then you fucking do it.
Well, and again, he is the thing that makes you realize something important is happening. Yeah. Because he's the one who would hold Fox by the collar and say, stop, right? And he would be the one to say, like, look, man, like you said earlier, it'd be interesting if we didn't know the dude was a pedophile.
Yeah.
And then it was Skinner who had to say, like, dude, there's a reason he can't leave this building.
Yeah,
he's been indicted like that. Like, that's interesting. That's why the first movie is so good, because they introduce Skinner early and then they make you question whether or not Skinner's on the up and up. Like, that's that's what's cool, because I don't know why Chris Carter decided years after the show was over, I need to get new fans. You should just assume the people who are seeing this know their relationship and just spend less time with them. And I know they're the stars, but we need to see the villain and we need to see the inner workings of the FBI. This movie gets everything about the X-Files wrong to me. Like, it would almost be more interesting if it was the Amanda Peet and Exhibit movie and then Mulder and Scully don't show up till the third act.
Yeah, like they, like it's a, like, holy shit, you know.
It's the new X-Files.
It's the new X-Files. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, again, I think a couple quick little fixes would have been revealing very late in the film that he was a pedophile and a little more Skinner, and you would have had a perfect movie, actually. Or at least a movie that would have given all the member berries to all the X-Files folks that loved it and knew it. And it would have probably, you know, invited one or two new fans. I guess my additional question is, you know, did they do this movie as a goal to create a new fan base because they were bringing the show back?
But and that was their goal? Years later.
Because that didn't come until years. So I'm a little confused as to why did they do this movie in the first place?
I mean, although I say that, I wonder if the movie had done better, the next season would have come quicker.
Yeah. That's a good question. So.
But I mean, like, it's also such a weird... like, it's a weird plot, like ex-Soviet something or others, like, I mean,
I don't know. The Russians are always a good plot you can fall back on. I think that's much like Nazis. Like, everyone can agree to be like, oh, this seems like this is the bad guy. You're like, okay. You
but,
know.
But I mean, you don't have to do too much. Poverage.
Exactly. You don't have to do too much explaining.
But so. I will say, though, the episodes that I think scared me, like stuck with me the most, are the ones that are on the fringe of reality. Like, remember that Myth Arc thing where the bees were actually drone robots watching us?
Yes.
You know, like, that's the kind of thing. Like, what if there was an NSA element? Because it's 2008.
Yeah,
like,
kind of good.
I mean, it's the, like, the end of the Bush administration. Like, by that point, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan had, yeah, like, public opinion had turned.
I mean, like,
NSA
like 9/11 had happened. You know, yeah, what I mean? Like, that's, you know, that's a, I love watching shows or and movies that happen right around or during 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you always talk about, you know, I love Voyager, of course. But Star Trek.
Enterprise.
Enterprise, yep. The one with, what's his name? That happened during 9/11.
I can help you out with one thing, yeah, not both, right? Things.
God, sorry, I'm already like half a bottle of Bacardi in, y'all. Or otherwise, I would know his name any other time. All I can think of him is him dressed as Frankenfurter on the internet. But anyways,
you're,
you know,
of Scott Bakula.
Yeah, Scott Bakula. And like Faith of the Heart kind of shit. And so it's very interesting to watch that show all the way up until 9/11 happened when they were recording.
Yeah.
And then you can see a vast flip in the script in that it was then became more of like a domestic terrorism themed show. And it was very, very good, by the way. I love other than the fucking Faith of the Heart song that is the opening.
It's
vomit.
A very strange
it's awful.
Theme.
It's but the rest of the show is great. And so that being said, you would think that in this post 9/11 world, you were like, oh, that's maybe that's a theme they're going for or something. No, just what the fuck ever.
It feels like it could be like a Kolchak the Night Stalker show, yeah, from like the 80s. Like, yeah, it just, and since there's
fucking
no
fucking boat in the tropics after they make that fucking post credit scene. I'm so mad about that right now.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed off. This is dumb.
You're allowed to be mad.
Everything was fine until then. Why did they have to fucking ruin it?
Just pretend it didn't happen.
Okay.
But there were pictures, so it did happen.
It did happen. It was CGI event. It's there forever.
Well, and like, that's something I will say that the X-Files was so interesting on, because like, the 90s stuff, they were very like, we need to be nervous about the government, but
they're not wrong.
But they work for the government, right? Like, so it's the idea. Like, it's the idea that, like,
Do you know how much I, like, question the medical field, and yet where do I work? The fucking medical field!
But, like, but that's so fascinating, because it's the argument that, like, there are people who are doing good, mm-hmm, but the system is designed to make it hard on them, yes, right? Because, yes, like, again, who's the step above them but Skinner, who's protecting them while they do this good work, mm-hmm, right? Like, that's that. And then when 9/11 happened, because the show extended, I think, till 2002 or 2003, mm-hmm, like, there's just that's what's so interesting to me about the paradigm, because X-Files could exist after 9/11.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so here,
it could actually, I think, thrive. And after then, actually.
And like, and that's why season 11, I think, isn't as good as 12. But they struggle with that. They're like, what if we are the reason Alex Jones exists, right? But like here, it's like, if you told me this was like the pilot episode, I'd almost believe you. Because it feels so disconnected from everything
else. It does. I agree.
It feels so strange. So Matt, you're clearly recommending this movie.
See it once, maybe. I didn't hate it like these two did, but I went in with very low expectations.
I mean, I went in with the lowest of expectations.
I'm not going to say I hate it. I will take it back. I did not hate it until that post-credit scene, which made no sense. I definitely think I can take away from this film something. I love The X-Files a lot. The first movie was amazing. This one was definitely not amazing. But it's not the worst thing I've ever watched in preparation for this show, I'll just say. I feel like I also am a bit Scully-esque in that I'm someone who tries to have a sense of faith, but I often am overwhelmed by a sense of science and logic, and that makes me feel sad because I want to have more faith, but I can't because I know too much.
Right.
And so I think that it really, like, so her whole deal very much speaks to me. And so that's why I'm really disappointed that, you know, they didn't do more with what they had. Like, again, I think not mentioning the fact that he was a pedophile till the end, I think would have been really great, because then it makes you question your belief system and who you put your trust in. I think that'd have been cool. I hate that Skinner wasn't in there sooner, because you constantly feel like you have someone that's on your side, but maybe not on your side at the same time. Of, you know, everyone loves the guarded friend, right? That's right. A very interesting dynamic. Am I glad I got to watch this movie again? Sure. I haven't seen it literally since I saw it in the theater in 2008, which I would have been, let's see, 2002. I would have been 16 years old at the time. So, you know, at the time this movie would have been, no, wait a minute, I think I counted that wrong.
You sure did.
26 years old. That's about the same. So at 26, do I view the movie differently than I do now at whatever I am? Yeah.
Wearing your halter top, just looking all like.
I was living my best life, doing Rocky Horror, doing marching band. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind.
It was 2008, so you had like one highlighted streak.
I did have one highlighted streak. It was fucking amazing.
What color was it?
It was white.
Oh.
I was living my rogue vibe. Yeah. My fucking rogue vibes. I was living that Marvel Universe vibe. Thank you. I was into Marvel before Marvel was cool.
You were sucking the essence out of men.
I still do, baby. I still do.
Better rogue than Pepe Le Pew, I suppose.
Exactly. You're right. And so am I glad I got to watch it again? Yeah, I am. Am I a little disappointed in the movie overall? Yeah, but I'm actually really glad that you had me watch it, because I'd kind of forgotten all about this movie existed, which seems so sad and cringy to say, as someone who loved X-Files so much. Mm-hmm. And it was such a big deal to me growing up, because it was part of my personality. You know, I was weird, and I wore big JNCO jeans and chains and t-shirts with aliens on them. And I didn't get along with anybody. And I thought, you know, everyone should be queer. And, yeah. And, you know, and that's just kind of the cool thing to do now. But back then it wasn't. It was not cool. And X-Files was such a big deal. And I'm sad this movie wasn't as good as I was hoping to remember it was. But, you know, you should watch it at least once. That way you can commiserate with us.
I think I mentioned this partially on the show, but I found the show late. In fact, it was a perfect story. I had dated a girl in high school for a couple of years. You know, it was super intense love. And then we broke up when I went to college. Oof. And it was one of those, like, I was back home and, like, I couldn't even talk to her anymore. And so I watched a lot of TV, and I got hooked on this fucking show. And I had seen it on and off, and then I just watched the whole thing. And so when this movie came out, I took it. And at the time, girlfriend, now wife, this was the first thing my wife had ever seen of the X-Files. And she was like, why did you even like this show?
Whoa, wait a minute. I thought the first one she saw was the original
movie.
No,
it was this one.
Oh, no.
And so, like, then for years, whenever I suggested, like, I was just watching it. And because for a while, it was just on things like Netflix or Hulu. So I would just put it on while I was doing laundry even, you know. And she's like, why do you even like this? And so I finally, like, set her down and watched some. And she gets it now. But this is just such a bad version of all of that. And for all the criticisms I said, I don't need to repeat myself. But don't watch this first. Some people watch this along when we talk about it. Watch the first one. Watch the one from last week. That's a good movie. And stand alone. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you can find guides online. And you can do, like, the Star Trek TNG. Not Voyager, when they have, like, myth, like, stories that go for seasons. But, like, TNG, TOS, where there's, like, if this story sounds like it's interesting to you, just watch the episode. Some you can skip. You can even find on Wikipedia or whatever, people who've lined up all the Myth Arc episodes if you want to do that. Because there's some incredible scenes. Like, I remember watching the beginning of season 2 when he's in the satellite station in Puerto Rico, when the aliens, like, when there's evidence of an alien, like, interaction, and he's literally in there when, like, the janitor is terrified because the lights keep coming and, like, the whole thing is shaking and the computer's freaking out and he blacks out and wakes up and everything is stripped away. Like, moments that chilled me to my core. And then this movie's just a wet fart. Like, you've ruined your Thanksgiving meal. This is awful. Don't watch this. Yes. This is just a shame. Anyway, so let's wrap this up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. And of course, I'll tell you what next week's episode is. Last week, of course, we did Fight the Future, which is the good one. Mm. This week we did I Want to Believe, which is the bad one. Oof. But next week, in honor of the Academy Awards, we're going to do the Daniel and mine, one of our least favorite Oscar winners for Best Picture, the Paul Haggis Scientology movie, Crash. That's the one.
Oh, that's isn't the one, that the rapey one?
That's the one where Jada Pinkett gets pulled over for trying to give her husband a blowjob and gets felt up by the cop.
No.
It's a movie about racism that won the Academy Award for Best Picture because racism turns out it's bad. So stay tuned next week when we're upset by Paul Haggis. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Season 9 of Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and stars Daniel Suttis and Matt Quinn. The theme music is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod of Incomtech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and review us wherever podcasts are found. Thanks, guys.